Today's shiur is Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Tezvav, and we will begin on Daf Yud Dalet Amud Beis, the third wide line. We had learned in our Mishnah that Hekdesh is Bishloisha, that if somebody wants to redeem something that's Hekdesh, we need three people to do that evaluation. Says the Gemara, Masnissin de Lokai Tana. Our Mishnah is not consistent with the following Tana. The Tanya, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Aimer, Afilu Tzinura Shel Hekdesh, even for a small fork that was used for weaving, for sewing, that is Hekdesh, if it belongs to Hekdesh, Tzricha Tzara Bnei Adam Lefkarisa. It requires 10 people to redeem it. Our Mishnah that says 3 people is enough, obviously doesn't agree with this opinion. Amlei Rapapa Labaya. Bishlam Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Dama Kishmul. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's opinion could be understood as Shmuel taught us. Dama Shmuel, Asar Kohanim Ksuvim Beparsha. The Torah speaks about 3 different types of Hegdish. First, the Torah speaks about the parasha of Erchin, the parasha of every person based on their gender and age having a value. And there, the Torah uses the word Koyin 3 times. The Torah speaks about the parasha of Metatlin, a Metatlin being Hegdish, and there too the Torah says the word Koin 3 times. And the Torah speaks about Karka being Kodesh, and there too the Torah says the word Koin 4 times. So Shmuel understands that since we have a total of 10 times the word Koin being mentioned, to teach us that we need to have 10 people appraising any item of Hegdash. El Rabbanon, but according to Rabbanon, Shnoi Sheminolhu, where did the Rabbanon take the number 3? V'chi Tema, and if you'll suggest that the reason the Rabbanon say you need 3 people is the Ksiba Shloisha, because the Torah mentions the word, when the Torah speaks about Hegdish, the Torah mentions the word Koyin 3 times, and that's why when the Torah speaks about Metatlin being Hegdish, since the Torah mentions the word Koyin 3 times, that's why it's enough to have only 3 Kohanim to make this evaluation. Ask the Gemara, if that's so, Kakos, the Torah mentions the word Hegdish 4 times, so why in our Mishnah where we don't find the Rabbanan objecting is the halacha that you need 10 people for the appraisal of karka of Hegdish? The halacha ought to be arba tizgeba kakos the ksiba arba by the parasha of Hegdish of karka tizgeba arba, 4 people should be enough since the Torah only mentions the word koin 4 times. V'chi teima, and if you'll say hachinami, then indeed 4 people are enough for the appraisal of karka. We learned in our Mishnah, without anybody disputing this halacha stated in our Mishnah, that a karkos tishuv koyin, that when it comes to the appraisal of karka, we need a total of 10 people, 9 Yisraelim and 1 koyin. So how do we understand this halacha? Answers the Gemara, Elamai. How do we understand that the Rabbanan agree that 10 people are required? Because the Mishamibu Asara. Because as I said earlier, if we follow the order of the Psukim, the order of the Psukim has Karka, has Erechim mentioned first, which is, and the word Kayin is mentioned there 3 times. Then it has the Parsha Metatlin mentioned, and there it says Kayin 3 times. And then we have the parish of Karka, where it says Koyin 4 times. So we say, since that's the last parasha, and it says there the word Koyin 4, we say that we don't look at these parishes as individual parishes, but we look at these parishes as one, a continuation of the previous one. But ask the Gemara, if that's the way we're going to understand, if that's the way we're going to explain the Rabbanan understand the Psukim, so now we could very well understand why the Rabbanan require 10 people by Karka. Because it's a combination of 3 plus 3 plus 4 equal 10. But if that's the line of reasoning we're going to take, Hedeshos, when it comes to the evaluation of Metatlin, the Misham Bashita, Libay Shita, it was saying that the Pasuk is following a progression, so that we should say that Hegdish, where the previous parish of Erchin had, where the previous parish of Erchin had three, and this parasha has three, so we should say 3 + 3 = 6, and it should require 6 people for the evaluation of Metatlin. But we're saying that the opinion of the Rabbanan is that they only require 3 people for the evaluation of Metatlin. According to this understanding, we should have to have 6, not 3, says the Gemara Kasha. Indeed, this is a Kasha. And as we have said, Baruch Hashem, so many times, we know that when the Gemara uses the word Kasha, instead of using the word Tiyufta, that means there's an answer to the question. What is the answer to this question? So, I saw that the Achrayim say, they say it in a number of versions, but essentially the Teretz is as follows. The number 3 is the standard number that we know is required for any din Torah, for anything that requires a Beis Din. If here the Torah, so in the case of Erchin, or in the case of Metatlin, the Torah used the standard number 3. So since the Torah used the standard number 3, we assume that all you need are 3 Dayanim. But by Karka, the Torah changed the number that it required. And by Karka, the Torah said it shouldn't be 3. By Karka, the Torah said it should be 4. So we see that the Torah wants the Karka be treated differently than everything else. Once we say that we see that the Torah is looking to treat Karka differently, we must explain that the Torah is saying that it should be a combination of all the times the word Kain is mentioned, and it means that we have to have 10 people for the appraisal of Karka. And as the Echroidim go on to explain, it can be very well understood, because since the appraisal of real estate is more complicated than the appraisal of anything else, because when it comes to appraise Metatlin, these are all items that have a standard price, and therefore it's very easy to appraise their value. However, Karka, which doesn't have real estate, which doesn't have a standard price, perhaps there the halacha should be that you should need 10. There, it's very well understood why you should need more people. We learned in the Mishnah, Ha'erchin. The Mishnah says Ha'erchin and Metatlin require 3 people. So the Gemara begins by trying to understand my Erchin and Metatlin. What does the Mishnah mean when it says the words Erchin and Metatlin? Amar Rav Gidla Merav. So Rav Gidla Merav says that the Mishnah is referring to a situation, but Oima Erech Kliza Olai. When a person says, I'm going to give the Erech of this Keli. Dom Rav Gidla Merav. As Rav Gidla Merav teaches us in Masech the Erechin, Ha'ayma Erech Kli Zeh Olai. If somebody says the Erech of this Keli, I should be obligated to give the Erech of this Keli, the Aloch is nice and Domov. He has to give the value of that Keli. My Tama, why? So explains the Gemara, because Adam Yedeya Shein Erech L'Keli. As I said earlier, the Torah teaches us a parash of Erechin. The parash of Erechin says that every person, based on their age and on their gender, has a specific erech, has a specific value. But that is only people. Kalim, the Torah doesn't speak about the parish of Erechin. So, explains the Gemara, when the person said this, he recognized the statement at face value has no meaning. Adam Yedeish ein erech l'keili. There can't be an erech to a keili. So when he said Erech Keli Zeolai, what he must have been was Domim. He meant that he's giving the value of the Keli to Hegdish. And therefore, Mishem Hacha Noisen Domov. That's why you have to give the value of the Keli. And as Rashi explains the Mishnah, explains this Teretz, and explains the Mishnah accordingly, that the Mishnah is teaching us that the person gave this Keli to the Hegdish, and now he wants to have the, now he wants to get back to Keli, and the Mishnah is teaching us that he has to, if he wants to get back to Keli, he has to have three people to make that evaluation. But ask the Gemara, if that's the explanation of the Mishnah, Hay Erchen HaMatatlin, then the wording of the Mishnah is a little difficult. Why does the Mishnah use the words Erchen HaMatatlin? Erchen Shematatlin Meboile. It should have said that if you're going to give Matatlin and you use the words Erch Keli Zelai, this is the halacha. Answers the Gemara, indeed. That is, the Gemara answers, indeed, that is what the Mishnah should be read. Tani, Erchen Shematatlin. That's Rav Gittel's way of explaining the Mishnah. Rav Chisda Amar Avimi B'matvus Matatlin L'Erchen. Our Mishnah is referring to a situation where somebody was obligated to give his Erech. Somebody made an Erech, took upon himself an Erech obligation. He didn't have cash with which to pay that obligation. And since he didn't have cash with which to pay that obligation, he gave Matatlin as form of payment, and now he wants to get back those Matatlin, he wants to redeem those Matatlin, and the Mishnah is teaching us you need three Dayanim. Ask the Gemara, if that's shot in the Mishnah, Hay Erchen HaMatatlin, Matatlin Shel Erchen Meboile, that if you gave Matatlin to pay your Erech obligation, that is the Halacha. The wording of the Mishnah is somewhat difficult. Answers the Gemara, Tani, indeed, according to Rav Chisda, the way to understand the Mishnah is Matatlin Sh'erchim. And as the Aruch Lener points out, why was Rav Chisda not willing to accept Rav Gittel's explanation of the Mishnah? Because according to Rav Gittel's explanation, and Rav Aruch Lener continues to ask, because it seems that Rav Gittel requires much less of a changing of the wording of the Mishnah. So shouldn't he prefer that explanation? Says Dal Chaner, even though Rav Gittel's teretz required less manipulation of the wording of the Mishnah, but on the other hand, it requires us to accept what Ramea said, what the Gemara said in the name of Ramea, that ain't other moitzed varal vatala. The people don't say something that doesn't make sense. And therefore, Rav Chisda did not want to limit himself to follow such a pshat. And therefore, because he didn't want to follow such a pshat, that's why he said he preferred this explanation. But now, the Rishonim and Achronim ask a very fundamental question. What happened here? A person in Rav Chisda's teretz, a person obligated himself to give his erech, to give his value, which whatever the value is, let's say it's $100. He didn't have $100 cash, so he gave a table. He had a table. He gave him a tantalin instead of giving the cash, and now he wants to get his table back, and it needs to be assessed. Ask the Mefarshim, why is an assessment necessary? There really should be no need to make an assessment. What we should do is say that this table, $100 of the table is the amount that was obligated to give for his erech. Let's say that's his erech is $100. He should now have to give Hegdish that $100, which is his erech, and then afterwards get back the table. The table may be worth not $100, the table may be worth $120. He only was obligated to $100. Answer the Mefarshim, from here we see that when somebody obligates himself, and he's only indeed obligated to give $100, because his erech is only $100. If he gave a table which is worth $120, the entire table becomes Hegdish, not only $100 worth of the table. That's why an assessment is necessary. It's a big Chiddush. That's why other Mefarshim, who don't agree with this Chiddush, explain that what happened here was that the person obligated himself to give his Erech. And as in our example, let's say his erech is indeed just $100. But he was a poor individual. And because he was a poor individual, the Torah speaks about the parasha of a poor person giving an erech, imachu me'erkecha, that the halacha is that he gives as much as he can. So Hegdish took away from him his table, recognizing that the table was worth less than his erech. And now he wants to come and redeem that table, so we don't know how much the table is worth, and that's why we need to have three dayonim make that assessment. Rav Avuah has a third way of explaining our Mishnah. Rav Avuah says, "Ba'ayim erech yalai," with referring to a situation where the person obligated himself to give his erech. And now we're coming to take the obligation, to collect that obligation. And therefore the halacha is like this. If the kohen is coming to collect from him a tautlin, how to satisfy his obligation, shloisha, three dayonim come. Kakos, if kak is going to be taken from him to satisfy his obligation, we need asara, 10 people. Bishlama, in the way Rashi explains the Gemara, in the first two terutzim, in the teretz of Rav Gidlan and Rav Chisda, we were referring to a situation where somebody made something is already Hegdish, and now we want to remove it from Hegdish. And therefore, since we're very concerned that Hegdish not be cheated, that's why we need to have three people. Bishlam lafukim Hegdish, binin shlosha. Ella, in Rav Avuah's teretz, we're referring to a situation, as we just explained, that we're coming to take something from Hegdish. If we're coming to take something from Hegdish, to Hegdish, so the concern that Hegdish is going to be cheated is not that great. So Shlosh Lamali, why do I need three people? One person should be able to take it from him. So according to Rashi's understanding, the Gemara's question is only on Rav Avuah's explanation. However, the Yad Ramah says that the Gemara's question is on Rav Gidl also. Because according to Yad Ramah's understanding of Rav Gidl's teretz, the first teretz, where it was referring to Omer Erech Kli Ze Olai, that and now he's obligated to give the value of the keli. According to the Yad Ramah, the explanation is that the person is the keli isn't kadosh. Rashi's explanation was that the keli becomes automatically kadosh. And now it's Hegdish, and now if you want to redeem it, you have to go through a procedure. According to the Yad Ramah, the Keli isn't Hegdish, the value is Hegdish. And therefore we need three people to evaluate it, to assess it, to know how much has to be given to Hegdish. And therefore, according to Yad Ramah, the Gemara's question is not only on Rav Avuah's explanation, but it's also on Rav Gidl's explanation. If it's coming, when we're going to give to Hegdish, why do we need three people? Amalei responds Ravina, Svaruhu. It's logical to say this, because Mali Ayuli Mali Afuki. We should not differentiate when we're taking something out of Hegdish versus when we're bringing something to Hegdish. Because, as we explain, Afuki Maitama, when we're redeeming something from Hegdish, why do we need three appraisers? Dematoi, because we're concerned that a mistake should not be made and Hegdish should not be cheated. Ayuli Nami, the same thing is when it comes to bring something to Hegdish, we are concerned Dilmatoi, and therefore we need three appraisers to make sure that there is the proper evaluation. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Huda Omer, Rabbi Huda said that one of the three people by the Erech Ramatalplin have to be a Kohen. Amalei Papal Abaya, Bishlam Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda's explanation that one of the three people has to be a Kohen, Hainet Iksev Kohen, because the Torah uses the word Kohen. And therefore, obviously, there has to be at least one Kohen involved. El Rabbanon, who don't require any Kohanim at all, Kohen Lomeluhu, why does the Torah use the word Kohen? Says the Gemara Kasha. And here too, we're going to try to say a Teretz, not our Teretz, but the Yad Ramah says that the reason the Torah uses the word Kohen is because even though the Rabbanan say that three Yisraelim are fine, the Rabbanan agree that lechatchila we should have a Kohen. And since the Rabbanan agree that we should have a Kohen, we could understand why the Torah uses the word Kohen. Hakakos, as we discussed in the Mishnah, the Torah says that when it comes to the evaluation of karka, we need tishav kohen. We need a total of 10 people. 9 can be Israelim and 1 can be a kohen. And as we discussed when we learned the Mishnah, Tosfos asks that how can we have a total of 10? The Torah, we've been learning so many times that the Torah said that we have a concept of ein bez din shakel. A bez din cannot have an even number of members. 10 is an even number. So the Rashba and the Ritva explain that since the Torah specifically said that we should have 10 people, so we can't do different than what the Torah specifically told us to do. And here the Torah specifically told us to have 10 people. Even though the Turi Evan asks on this explanation, because we've been saying so many, we said, for example, that how do we know we need to have normally 3 Dayonim? So the Gemara said, because the Torah uses the word Elohim twice, Ad Elohim Yavet Vashneim, Asher Yishin Elohim, and then we said, Ein Bezdin Shoko, and that's why we have to have 3. So why don't we ask the same question? Why don't the Rashba and the Ritva ask the Torah Evan, say the same thing? That you should have to have 2, because the Torah specified only 2. So the Stipler answers. The Torah, when it came to the appraisal of Karka, specifically used the word Kayin 10 times, and by specifically using the word Kayin 10 times, the Torah meant only 10. Here the Torah says the word Elohim, Elohim, which means a Bezdin. There are many ways of explaining the word Elohim. It doesn't mean specifically 2. It can mean 3 just as much as it means 2. And therefore saying that it means 3 is not contradicting what the Torah expressly said. Another teretz that the Mefarshim gave is that the Turi Evan says that the halacha is that you have to have all 10 should agree. And since you have to have all 10 agreeing, and that's why this Rav Shach says that not only do you need all 10 to agree, the halacha is you don't have to have all 10 together. Because you just need, but you need to have the absolute agreement of all 10. That's why 10 is fine, because we need anyway a unanimous opinion. Another pshat that I saw is that you really only need 3 people to make the appraisal. When the Torah speaks about 10, the Mishnah teaching us the Torah speaks about 10, it means you have to have 3 people making an appraisal in the presence of 10 people, but not that all 10 people actually have to state an opinion. Another pshat is that you really only have 9 people making the appraisal, and the Kohen is there, but the Kohen doesn't give an opinion. Another pshat that the Sfas Emes gives is, as I quoted earlier, that indeed the Torah speaks about 10 people, but being that the 10th person is a Kohen, the Kohen serves as a tiebreaker. And indeed, if there will be a disagreement, if there will be an even split, the Kohen will get 2 votes. So we do, in effect, have 11 people. Another pshat that I saw is from the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav says as follows. Why is the halacha that you need to have by every bezdin an even number of members? Because we don't want to have a situation of a tie. Once that 5 will say mutter, 5 will say usur, 5 will convict, and 5 will acquit. So therefore, by having an odd number of members, for sure there will be a majority to one opinion. However, says the Brisker Rav, in this situation, where we're talking about appraisal, we could have 10 different opinions, we could have 11 different opinions. Every person could have a different opinion. So by adding another person to the group, you're not creating a situation of a tiebreaker, because all this new person may do is just come up with a new opinion. And therefore, we don't accomplish anything by having an odd number. And therefore, here the halacha is that you don't have to have 10. You could have 10 people. Another pshat, one final pshat, is the pshat of the Aruch Lener. The Aruch Lener explains that you have 10 people because the Gemara in yesterday she spoke about lekuchas. He says it doesn't mean appraisal. It means a bidding. We have to open up to bidding. And when by normal hegdish we have to have bids of 3 people, and here we have to have the bids of 10 people. When it comes to bidding, it's not a question of making a judgment, and therefore the halacha of ein bezdin shakel doesn't apply. So again, as we've been saying, karka needs 10 people. Not, it could be 9 Yisraelim and 1 Kohen. Ask the Ramanan immediately, Amishmu, could the pasuk, as we said at the beginning of our shir, asara kohanim ksuvim b'parsha, the Torah mentions Kohen 10 times. Chad, the first time the Torah mentions it, we say is legufei, is to teach us that a Kohen is required. The other times are a situation of a miyat achamiyat, where the halach is that if the Torah says something, and then the Torah repeats the same din. So why is the Torah repeating the same din? It must be because the Torah is coming to exclude. It's a miyat, a miyat achamiyat. The first time the Torah said a Kohen, and then the Torah repeated a Kohen. So it's a situation of mir achamiyat, and we have a klal, we have a rule, that ain mir achamiyat el l'rabbis, to teach us that filo tes Yisraelim, 9 Yisraelim, vechid kohen, and 1 kohen is fine. Ask the Gemara. If we're going to be learning that this is a situation of mir achamiyat, so we shouldn't end up with this conclusion of the first one being a kohen, and the other 9 may be Yisraelim. Rather, the conclusion should be Maskula Rav Huna B'Reid Rav Nosson Eima Chamisha Ka'anim V'Chamisha Yisraelim. The way to understand the Pasuk is as follows. The first time the Torah says Kayin, so we need a Kayin. Then the Torah says Kayin again, so it's a Mirach Amir L'Rabbis, that Yisrael is fine. The third time the Torah says Kayin means specifically a Kayin. The fourth time will be a Mirach Amir L'Rabbis. So we should end up with a situation not of 1 Kohen and 9 Yisraelim, rather of 5 Kohanim, with this line of reasoning, 5 Kohanim and 5 Yisraelim. Says the Gemara, indeed, Kasha, why 1 Kohen and 9 Yisraelim are fine instead of 5 and 5. The Mishnah continued, V'adam k'yotze b'hen. A person is also appraised by 10. Ask the Gemara, Adam k'kadosh, is it possible to make a person kadosh, that we need to appraise his value? Ask Tosfos, of course there's a case where we could make a person kadosh by an eved. The halach is you could be magdish your eved. So Tosfos says one teretz that an eved is not called an adam. If the Mishnah uses the word adam, it must be that it's not referring to a eved. Another teretz is because Rav says in Masechet Gittin that a magdish avdoi yoytzel lecheiris, and therefore that hegdish is not a valid hegdish. The Tosfos Rosh answers that the Yerushalmi says explicitly that we don't take 10 people for the redemption of avodim, because if an eved is hegdish, we're concerned that if he's going to hear that he's being redeemed, he may flee, and therefore we only take 3 people when it comes to be paid an eved. And another teretz that the Rishonim give is that usually when a Mishnah, Braisa, speak about Avodim v'kakos, the wording is Avodim v'kakos, not Adam v'kakos. So if our Mishnah meant an Eved, it wouldn't have used the word Adam, it would have used the word Avodim. So again, the Gemara says, Adam v'kadosh, answers the Gemara, Amar Avur, the case of our Mishnah is, Ba'ayim v'demei olai. The person says, Demei olai. The Tanya, as we learned in the Braisa, Hoyim Dmei Olai, if somebody obligates to give his value, Shamnai Soi Ke'evet Adnim Kebishuk, we evaluate him how much he would be worth as an Eved. The Eved is Kishlakakos, and an Eved is compared to Karka, and just like Karka, we just learned needs 10 people, so too will an Eved. Most Rishonim explain that he's evaluated as an Eved Knani. How much he would be worth if we were sold as an Eved Kanani. And Eved Kanani is Kishlakakos. There are Rishonim, however, who I saw, that explained that he's evaluated how much he could be sold as an Eved Ivri. An Eved Ivri, is not Hukishlakakos, so how could the Gemara suggest that he's evaluated as assessed at the value of an Eved Ivri? So those Rishonim explain that an Eved Ivri does have, to a certain degree, a dimension of similarity to Eved Kanani. Because the halacha is that if an owner of an Eved Ivri may give the Eved Ivri to his Shifcha Kananis to live with, and the children will be Avadim Kananim. So there is a dimension in an Eved Ivri to some degree of a similarity to an Eved Kanani. Therefore, when our Mishnah, when our Gemara says that we evaluate this person, we assess this person's value if he was sold as an Eved, it means an Eved Ivri. By Revovin, Sar HaOymed LiGozes. If we have hair on the person that's ready to be cut off. In other words, there was a standard amount, there was a pretty much standard time in those times when hair was cut. And there we have now that much hair in a person. But kama, how many people do we need to appraise the value of that hair? To gozes dummy, does the halacha look at that hair as if it was already cut off? And the halacha is that three people will be enough, because it's a regular case of metatlin. Oy kemechuba dummy, since it's still attached to the body, and we just said that a person, an eved, is similar to karka, and karka requires a sorrow, 10 people. Answers the Gemara, Toshma, Hamagdish is Avdoi. If somebody is Magdish is Eved, Emei Alamboi. There is no Mi'ila in the Eved. Why? Because Mi'ila doesn't apply to karka. And since we're learning now that an Eved is compared to karka, therefore there will not be any Mi'ila on the Eved either. Hamagdish is Eved, Emei Alamboi. Rav Shimon Gamliel, however, says, My Alam Basaroi, Mila is passable in the hair of that Eved. The Kaimalon, and an explanation of Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion, it was understood that's referring to Besara Oymid Legozois, it's Pligi, the hair of the Eved that's about to be cut. Shemana, so we see from here that this question of Sara Oymid Legozois, Kegozois Domi, is actually a Machlokes Tanoim. It's interesting to point out that according to the opinion of Dover Oymed Legozes, Sarah Oymed Legozes, Kegovid Dami, so the Mepharshim, the Paiskim ask, while be the halach, that something that's about to be cut is already halachically viewed as detached, while be the halacha, discuss the Paiskim, where it's Yontif, and I don't have Dalad Minim, the only Dalad Minim, the Suk, the Esra, Galulav, whatever that is available to me, are still connected to the ground. But they're ripe, and they're ready to be cut. Can we use them to Mekayim Mitzvah Dalad Minim because of the halacha of Kala'oymid Ligozes Kigozes Dami? So, the Paiskim say that the Torah, when it speaks about the Mitzvah of Dalad Minim, uses the words V'lakachtem Lechem. There's a special halacha of Lekicha. And Lekicha is only passable by something that's detached, not something which is still attached. Similarly, the question comes up when somebody, we have to put on tefillin, and somebody, let's say, needs to have a haircut right before his tefillin, right, and he's putting on tefillin. So if we say, Sar ha'oymer ligozus, kegozus domi, why would that not be considered a chatzitza? And we'll see now perhaps an answer to that question. Because says the Gemara, Neima hani tanoi, kani tanoi. The machlokes between the Tanakam and Shimon Gamliel is the same as another machlokes. The Tanan, Rameo Omer, Yesh Dvarim Shem Kekarka, Veina Kekarka, Veina Chom Moedim Loi. There's some things that Rameo considers that characteristically they're like Karka, but they're not halachically like Karka. The Chom don't agree. Kate said, Aser Gefonim Defunis Mesati Loch. If somebody says to somebody else, I gave you 10 fruit laden trees, V'lo Ama Ein El Chomish, that's only 5. So we have here a classical situation of Moedim and Mitzvahs. Ramei Mechayif. Ramei says that he has to take the Shvuah Moedim and Mitzvahs. V'chom Oimrim, Kol Mechubel Kaka Reiku Kaka. V'om Rabbi Yosef Brachaninen explaining that Machnoikus. But Novim HaMoedis Lebotzer Iskinen. That's talking about grapes that are ready to be picked from the tree. Mar Sovek B'tzuris Damya. that the Ramei considers them as if they're already detached, and therefore they're considered like Metatlin, and the Shvuah of Moedim Mimixis is applicable. Or Masavav, whereas the Rabbanan hold that since they're collected still to the tree, they're considered like Kibitzur Stamyan, they're considered like they're still connected, and by Karka, there is no Shvuah of Moedim Mimixis. So we see that this question of Dova Oymi Likotzer, Kikotzer Dami or not, is already Machloikis Tanoim. Says Merloi, I feel Tam Rameya. Rameya could agree that even though Rameya holds by fruits that are ready to be cut, that they're halachically considered cut, that would not be the same by here. Because Akan we come Rameya Hosom, Kol Kam the Shavkalim Mikhashi. Once the grapes have to be taken off the tree, they have to be taken off. If they're left here, they're only going to deteriorate. Avasaroi, even though it's time for somebody to have a haircut, as long as they're left here, the hair gets improves, you have longer hair, and therefore even Ramei will agree that we don't say by sar so now we can answer our question regarding the tefillin, that even though the person is supposed to have a haircut, but still, since the Gemara says that hair is never considered, is not considered like something that's necessarily going to be deteriorate as it stays on the head, and therefore it's not considered a chatzitza. And the Paiskim go on to say, maybe it was only in time of Chazal, where hair on a person was cut and used. Hair on a man typically nowadays is not cut and used. Still, say the Paiskim, since theoretically that hair could be cut and used, even though we typically wouldn't do such a thing, it's enough to be considered that it's not a chatzitza. It said in our Mishnah, Dini Nefashis are judged by 23 Dayanim. And the Mishnah said, if an animal sodomized a person, or is sodomized by a person, so too a bezdin of 23 is required. Says the Gemara, Kapasik Vitani, the Mishnah made a statement, Loishna Roive Zachar, it makes no difference whether the animal sodomized a woman, a man, or a woman. The halacha is that you need a bezdin of 23. Says the Gemara, Bishlam arrived in the keva. When a woman was sodomized, the ksiv veraktes ish avesa behema. The Torah speaks about the man and the woman. So since the woman needs 23. So the same thing, the Torah compares the animal to the woman, so too will the animal require a quart of 23. How we know the halach is that a quart of 23 is required when animals sodomize a male? Answers the Gemara, the Ksiv, Kol Shoichiv in Behema Mois Yumas. Now, Im Eina Inyel Shoichiv, if the Pasuk is not speaking to a situation that an animal, that a person, that a man sodomized a animal, because that has been already taught in a different pasuk, Tanei Inyan Lanishkov. We have to say it's referring to a situation that an animal sodomized a person. If that's what the pasuk is referring to, so why did the Torah use the word Shaychiv? Why does the Torah use a word as if the man is doing the act? To teach us, Lashkushe Nishkev L'Shoichiv, to compare both parties to this act. Ma Shoichiv, Hu Behemto Besav Shloisha. So just like when a man sodomized an animal, both of them require the death, they have a Bezdin of 23, because the Torah compared the man to the animal in such a case. Af Nishkev, so too an animal sodomized the person, the Loch is Hu Behemto Besav Shloisha. Shah Niskel, if a Shah Niskel is taken for judgment, the Mishnah taught us we need a Bezdin of Esrim Shloisha of 23. Shanemar, Hasar Yusakel, Vigam Ba'ol of Yumas. Kemisis HaBalim, Kach Mises HaShar. And just like we've been learning that the Balim need a court of 23, so too does the Shah need a court of 23. Omlei, Abai L'Rava, May the Hai Vigam Ba'ol of Yumas. Lemisus habalim, kach misus asharu dasa. Why are we saying that? That's what this pasuk is coming to teach us. Perhaps the pasuk is coming to teach us Emelik Tala Hudasa. Maybe the pasuk is coming to teach us that if a person, animal, kills somebody, the person must be killed. The owner must be killed. Answers the Gemara in Cain. If that's what the pasuk was saying, Licht v'gam be'olav. It would be adequate that the pasuk should use the word v'gam be'olav, v'lishtik. It doesn't have to say yumas, v'gam be'olav yumas. Since, but if the Torah added the word yumas, it teaches us that not to take the pasuk literally, but rather to compare the death sentence of the axe to the way a person would be put to death with a bezin of 23. Answers the Gemara, that's not a teretz, because ikas rachman alchi, if the Torah had said the gamba olav yumas, gamba olav without the word yumas, I would say have mina beskila, that the person is killed, the owner is killed, but he's killed with skila, just like the animal is killed with skila. Ask the Gemara, that's why we have to have this word to teach us that he's not killed beskila. Ask the Gemara, beskila salkadaitach. How can we have a havamina that is put to, that the owner would be put to death by skila? Kotl iu. If a person kills another person, the halach is that he's killed b'sayif, with a sword, which is a lesser type, more lenient type of execution. So if he kills somebody else, he's put to death with sayif. Memainoi. And if can we then suggest that if his axe, which is only his something that he owns, kills somebody, he should be chayiv skila? Says Abai, so it must be that the words v'gam ba'olav, the words yumas, are extra to, as Rava taught. Ask the Gemara, asks Abai to Rava, v'demahai the kos rachmana yumas l'kula leya. Maybe what the word the Torah, indeed, what the Torah is teaching us is l'fuke misayif l'chenik. That we just indeed said that one, when a person kills another person, he's put to death by sayif. But when a person's animal kills someone else, he's put to death, but he's not put to death by sayif. He's put to death by an easier type of misa, only by chenek, says the Gemara. Hanichel amanda amar. But if we're going to say chenek is chomer, the chenek, we're going to learn later in our Masechta a question which is considered a more stringent type of execution. If we're going to say that chenek is considered a more stringent type of execution, and sayif is the most lenient type of execution, we could understand why the word yumas is superfluous. Elamand ama chenek kill. The chenek is a more lenient type of execution. Mayik lemeimer. Why can't we say that the Torah is using the word yumas to tell us that this person whose animal kills someone else is put to death by chenek, not by sayif? So, lo salkadaitach. Says the Gemara, it can't make sense that if a person's animal kills someone else, he should be put to death. Because the pasuk says, im kaifa yushus olof, that if someone's animal kills, he has to pay kaifer. Now, if the halacha is that if somebody animal kills someone else, that owner has to be put to death, the pasuk says, if somebody's supposed to be executed, he can't get off the hook just by paying kaifer. Answers the Gemara on the contrary, Adrabba, Mishum hi gufa, Kotl ihu, when he kills himself, then he can't pay his way out. Elabak Tala, he must be put to death. Kotl Shara, but if his animal kills someone else, Lifgrit Nafshibimamaina. The Torah is teaching us that he could give Kaifer instead of getting killed. That means, if he'll give Kaifer, he won't get killed. If he won't give Kaifer, then he'll have to get killed. Elo Amar Chizkia, V'chein Tana Debei Chizkia, Amar Kra Mois Yumas Hamakar Itzeichu. The Torah clearly teaches us that a person is only put to death when he killed somebody, not if an animal killed somebody. Ask the Meshech Chochma. If, according to what Abaye wanted to suggest, that when somebody's animal kills someone else, there's two options. If he pays kaifer, he won't be put to death. If he doesn't pay kaifer, then he'll be put to death. How can he be put to death? We've learned earlier that before somebody does such an aveir, hasra is required. Won't this be a situation of hasra safek? Because we don't know if he'll pay the kaifer or not. And if you think about it, the question can even be asked even stronger. Because the question is, certainly, if a person could save himself from being killed by paying kaifer, and let's say, Rahman al-Slan, he doesn't have the funds available to pay the kaifer, wouldn't we as a community have to raise the funds to give him the opportunity to pay kaifer and save him from getting killed? So how could there ever be a shaila that such a person will be killed? Says the Meshech Chachma, what the pasuk means is that of course there would never be a situation that Bezdin would kill such a person. But if the halacha were that if somebody's animal kills somebody else, potentially there's a possibility that he has to be put to death, then the halacha of a goyel hadam would apply, and the goyel hadam of the person who was killed by this person's animal would have a right to kill the owner of the animal. Ibalu. Sar Sinai Bekama. The Torah teaches us that that no animal was allowed to approach Har Sinai, and the Mara wants to know if an animal approached Har Sinai, how many dayanim were required? Migar Meshar Medaris Aloy. Just like we learned that if an animal is put to death, that our Mishnah says we always need 23. Here too, the question is, maybe we need, do we need 23 dayanim or not? So Tysus asked the obvious question. Why is the Gemara asking this question? This was a one-time event, and it happened already. So why does the Gemara need to know this halacha? So Tysus says, because the Gemara is trying to understand pshat in the psukim. Another pshat is, the Torah teaches us that the same halacha that applied to Har Sinai, that an animal wasn't allowed to approach Har Sinai by Kabbalah Satira, so too, an animal wasn't allowed to approach the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara's question is, if an animal does approach the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash, how many dayanim are required? Another pshat that the Mefarshim suggest is that if a person obligates himself to do something, I'm going to give tzedakah, I'm going to give suits to poor people, how many suits do I have to give? The same amount of dayanim that are required for such a din Torah. How many suits would he be required to give? Another pshat, and this is a very fundamental pshat, the pshat of the Tashbats. The Tashbats says, yes, if it comes to try to understand a mitzvah in the Torah, which that mitzvah is no longer applicable, there's a halacha, why try to understand it? The halacha is that we already know what the halacha, there's no practical need to understand it. But if we're referring to a situation where we're trying to understand a pasuk in the Torah, just to try to understand what the Torah is saying, that we always have an obligation to try to understand. Toshma, the Tani Rami by Yecheskel. The pasuk says, Im behemem ish lo yichya. My ish, just like we were learning, that a person, when he's tried for a capital offense, requires a bezin of chaf gimel, here too, af behemem b'chaf gimel. The Mishnah said, Ariv Azev, a sentence to death by court of 23. Rebbe Lezer said, Kol HaKadim Lahargon Zocha. Amr Rish Lakish, so not Rish Lakish qualifies what Rebbe Lezer Ben Yaakov said. Rebbe Lezer Ben Yaakov says, Rish Lakish said, is then only Vushimisu, if these animals actually killed a person. Av Loi Hamisu, if they didn't kill anybody, Loi, they're not allowed to be killed. Amr, it's obvious that Rish Lakish's opinion is, Yeshlem Tarbis, that these animals can be tamed, v'yeshlam balam, and they have owners, and they're somebody's property, and no one has a right to kill them. No one has a right to kill them. However, certainly say the Rishonim, explaining this opinion, that once they killed, the halachas changed, because now it's a situation of v'arta hara mikabercha. Furthermore, Rabbeinu Yoina says that if these animals are not being tamed by the owners, then there will not be a halacha that they should not be killed, even according to Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan, however, says, Api Shloya Misu, they could be killed. Because Abu Alma, that's Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, Elam Tarvis, Elam Balam, they can't be tamed, and they don't have owners. Tanan asked the Gemara on Rish Lakish's explanation, we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Lezer, I'm a kala kadim lahagum zakim. Bishlam Rabbi Yechalim may zakim. Zakhal iron. He gets the animal's hides. El Rish Lakish, lamay zakim. What does the Mishnah mean when the words kala kadim lahagum zakim? Kim shemisu, once they killed a person, Shavir Rabbanim command the gomit dinayu. It's like they went through the Bez Din system. And the halacha is that an animal that's sentenced to death by Bez Din are isuri non-ninu, that you can't have any benefit from them, including in not having any benefit from them, as you can't use their hide. So what does the Mishnah mean, what does it mean, Mr. Kalakaidim Lahag and Zacha? My Zacha? Answers the Gemara, Zacha L'Shemayim. He did the right thing by as we said before, V'arta Rami Kebecha, getting this killer animal out of the system. Tanya Kavas Rish Lakish, Echad Shar Shehemis, Vech Behem Chamesh Shemisu, Bechav Gimel. Requires a Bez Din of 23. Rebbe Lezheimer, Shar Shehemis Bez Din V'Shloisha, V'Shar Behem V'Chayesh Shemisu, Kol Kodim Zoch Ben L'Shemayim. But here it says that only when are they allowed to be killed? If Himisu, they killed somebody else. Rekiva says they have to be judged by a Bez Din of 23. Ask the Gemara, isn't Rabbi Kiva saying the same thing as the Tanakama, who disagreed with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? Answers the Gemara, Ikka b'nayu nochesh. The Nafkamina will be a snake. According to the Tanakama, even a snake is killed by a Bez Din of 23. Whereas Rabbi Kiva holds that a snake, given it's so dangerous, could be killed immediately without going through a Bez Din process. It's interesting to point out that there's a tshuva in the Noida Yehuda that discusses if a Jew is allowed to go hunting. And he says, in general, killing an animal is inappropriate. Jewish theology says that we're allowed to kill animal for a purpose. We're allowed to kill animals because we want to eat meat. But just to kill an animal, because that is what brings you enjoyment, is considered Achzorius, may be considered Achzorius, it may be considered Tsar Baal Chaim, and therefore certainly should not be, should be avoided. And then he goes on to say, he says, actually, a person who works in trapping animals has a very dangerous job. The animals could attack him. Why is he allowed to do it? Because that's what he's doing for a living. And like anybody, before he goes to work, whether it's a dangerous job or a less dangerous job, needs siyata d'shmaya, and needs to be mispal, needs to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he should have siyata d'shmaya, that he should be able to fulfill his obligations properly, and nothing should happen to him in the course of fulfilling his obligations. Obviously, somebody who's working in a more dangerous job needs more of a tefillah, needs more of a siyata d'shmaya. He says, but how could somebody take upon himself to be put into a dangerous situation of hunting animals, where the animals could attack him, where it's only for enjoyment? How does a person have a right to daven to Hashem, that Hashem should give him the siyata d'shmaya and the shmira for something that you didn't have to do? And therefore, he frowns upon a Jew participating in hunting.